Good morning. It is 10:01 a.m., July 23rd, 2024. I call this special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioners Sherry Haugenhofer and Julie Fedorchak. So we have a quorum. For opening comments, I do want to say that Victor Shook, our Public Utility Director, and I and I can't remember how this even got started, but we were invited to participate in a Vision West seminar out in Dickinson, which is, I think, kind of a sister organization to the Western Energy County organization. But anyway, the topic was, you know, local ordinances and siting and things like that. And so we went out and we expected a few of those Western real energy producing counties. Well, there were a couple cities represented. And when I say represented, I mean, there's county commissioners, there are employees, there are various positions within these areas. But they even had, like, Eddy County was there, and a couple from more eastern or at least east central North Dakota. 17 counties were represented.
Wow.
And, well, Victor did an awesome job. We had slides that showed, you know, parts of the Century Code and as well as references to the whole thing and encouraged them to read up on it before they do ordinances. And I think pretty much everyone agreed that it was really valuable to them and to us. But, you know, for that, from their perspective, that they kind of know the things that we base our decisions on and some of the laws that are in effect as far as where the pieces of the puzzle that we look at, if that supersedes them anyway, you know, maybe there's not much point in misleading their people and doing ordinances that are going to be superseded. However, on the flip side, if there are areas that they want to address that we do not look at, you know, that is prime for local ordinances then. And so I think it was a great interaction. I hope that maybe the Association of Counties will do such a thing, because, I mean, most of this siting stuff has to do with energy industry, but it doesn't all just stay confined to the energy-producing counties. So that was really a highlight, and I just wanted to point that out to you two. And then I have a couple more things to talk about on the admin agenda where we need to discuss it in more depth. But that concludes my opening comments. Commissioner Haugenhofer, did you have any?
Well, I just want to add to that, Randy. Thanks for bringing that up, that the commission gets invited to different things. But I really like the idea of you reaching out maybe to the Association of Counties. I know they have conferences and all that to really bring that information out there, as I know local ordinances are being reviewed. So, again, great job.
Thanks.
I have nothing else to add.
Thanks.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
I have made a similar presentation multiple times to the Association of Counties and the League of Cities meetings over the course of the last decade or more. So, yes, and it is, that's a group that's constantly changing. And the people in those roles are, so it's not like, oh, certainly isn't a one and done. And, we have, Stacey and I have worked on a PowerPoint that I'm sure is somewhat similar to what Victor used in terms of like the Century Code and, you know, and those key factors. And every time I've done it, it's, you know, the audience has been very, like, comforted that we do such a thorough, you know, that there is such a thorough look. And also, I think it does, like you said, help them zero in on the areas that they can have the most impact on. And then sometimes they say, well, you should be doing, you know, they want less control. Maybe you got some questions like that. Like, I wish that the state did this, that, and the other. And then to be able to remind them, well, we think that it's important that the locals decide, because not every local area views it the same. So you guys, that's why the legislature has done it this way. So anyway, but I think, yeah, it's a great effort, and it's probably something that we could offer to them on a regular basis I've just done it as asked, but offer on a regular basis because it's such a timely topic right now. I think it's really become more in the crosshairs. And because of Carbon Summit and other high-profile cases. And it's so consequential to our state. So,
okay, before we get to
our I wanted to say one more thing. Just got back from NARUC last week, and the NARUC conference was it was really well attended. It was a good conference, and the highlight was interview with Daniel Yergin. I don't know if either of you have heard of Daniel Yergin or read his books. He's written a number of them. But turns out he's one of the, you know, most well-known experts on energy policies and internationally and the geopolitics of energy. And so he was absolutely fascinating. I wish we had it on tape, because it would be fun to go back and listen to it. But his ability to put sort of the whole decarbonization effort in the global perspective and really talk about the level at which we are all, our whole society in the U.S. And more globally is kind of dependent on energy and the fossil fuel industry, and that this whole transition that we're under, it has huge ramifications for our country and the world and needs to be done at the proper pace. I had many people come up to me afterwards and say that it was the best session they've ever seen at NARUC. So it's pretty cool. Great. And he's a Pulitzer Prize winning author. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, so read the new map, or there's another one. I'm forgetting the name of it. I'll tell you guys later, because it's worth reading. I've got it downloaded on my phone now too. So thank you.
Absolutely. And before we get into our voting items, would you please stand and join me in pledging our allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have three items on the consent calendar. I move approval of those items plus the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission approve revision number 3-5 to surface coal mining permit number KRSB 8603, held by Westmoreland Beulah Mining, LLC. Revision 35 modifies the reclamation schedule and plan for the silver, gold, and iron pits. The revision also updates the water management plan to include newly constructed ponds and updates the certified leases and agreements as provided in Westmoreland Beulah Mining, LLC. Revision 35, permit KRSB-8603, application case number RC-22-418.
Second.
So first of all, I want to emphasize that the silver, gold, and iron pits are all there to mine coal, not silver, gold, and iron. But that's just the names they came up with one time. On November 30th of 2022, so over a year and a half ago, Westmoreland filed the application for this revision 35. It modifies the reclamation schedule and plan. The revision also updates the water management plan to include newly constructed ponds and updates the certified leases and agreements. Westmoreland submitted the affidavits of publication for the newspaper notices. We also notified the appropriate agencies and the permit area landowners of the revision application. We received no objections or requests for informal conferences on this. Evidence of adequate liability insurance is currently on file, and no monetary bond adjustment is necessary. Pursuant to our administrative code, the current surety bond in the amount of over $14.5 million is sufficient for the proposed operations. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of the permit revision. and recommends its approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I move the commission approve renewal number 8 to surface coal mining permit number BNCR-8202 held by BNI Coal Limited for the Center Mine to extend the permit term on the existing permit area for another 5 years until July 31st, 2029 in BNI Coal Limited Renewal 8 permit BNCR-8202 application case number RC-24-29.
Second.
So on January 17th of just this year, we received BNI Coal's application for this renewal to continue their mining and reclamation operations through July 31st of 2029, a five-year continuance. This covers portions of just two sections in Oliver County, totaling about 728 acres. BNI applied for this permit renewal because soil stockpiles, sedimentation ponds, and an equipment supply staging area are used to support mining operations in other center mine permits. Coal removal is complete within this area. At the time BNI filed this application, they also filed the application for revision number 39, which was considered an insignificant revision and was approved prior to commission action on this renewal application because it was an insignificant revision. BNI submitted the affidavits of publication for the newspaper notices. We notified the appropriate agencies and the permit area landowners and received no objections to the renewal. Evidence of adequate performance bond and liability insurance are on file. This and the three other permits at the Center Mine are part of a consolidated bond area, which is covered by a surety bond that totals over $49 million. The Reclamation Division has completed its review of the five-year permit renewal application and recommends its approval.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And then we get into telecom ETCs for a while. I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunications carrier designation in TracPhone Wireless Incorporated, designated eligible carrier application case number PU-24-19.
Second.
On January 24th, TracPhone filed the application the purpose of receiving federal universal service support for low-income consumers. TracPhone proposes to provide lifeline universal services to the eligible low-income customers throughout every exchange in North Dakota. On February 7th, we issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, and it identified the issues to be considered, which are, is the applicant qualified? Is the universal service support area, what support area should be designated, and is the designation of the applicant as an ETC in the public interest? On May 23rd, we held there were no requests for hearing received. Mm-hmm. On May 23rd, we held an informal hearing to discuss the issues with TracPhone. And so having allowed all interested persons an opportunity to be heard, and having heard, reviewed, and considered all testimony and evidence presented, approval of this motion means that TracPhone is designated as an eligible telecommunications carrier, and also emphasizing that they shall comply with the applicable annual reporting requirements.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
This one is similar, but has a very nice distinction. I move the commission adopt the order on eligible telecommunications carrier designation in Consolidated Communications Networks Incorporated, designated eligible carrier expansion application case number PU-24-168.
Second.
On April 22nd, Consolidated Communications Networks, which is a North Dakota corporation with its principal offices located in Dickinson, filed the application for designation as an ETC. They proposed to provide Lifeline Universal Services to eligible low-income customers as a competitive local exchange carrier. That is different. On May 23rd, we issued the notice of opportunity. The same issues. Is the applicant qualified? What, if any, universal support area should be designated? And is the designation of the applicant as an ETC in the public interest? And no requests for a hearing were submitted. On July 8th, we held an informal hearing with CCNI. And so now, having allowed all interested persons an opportunity to be heard, and having heard, reviewed, and considered all testimony and evidence presented, approval of this motion means that we are ordering Consolidated Communications is designated an eligible carrier and shall comply with the applicable annual reporting requirements. And what I want to point out here is we've had this string of all these ETCs wanting to come into North Dakota. It seems like I get the impression they think they're coming in and going to be like it's some new thing that we're going to come out and try and get service to these Lifeline eligible customers who are going unserved. When really what I would say they're doing is taking advantage of a bunch of federal subsidies that aren't really needed. In this case, Consolidated has been doing exactly this, providing Lifeline services to customers who need it in their area in 18 exchanges for many, many years. They've essentially been doing this in the Dickinson and Belfield exchanges because there, while it's not in their cooperative territory, they select those areas. And so they serve most of the customers, and the handful of Lifeline eligible customers could get assistance through that ACP program, which is now expired. So this just allows them to continue what they have always done as a local provider using their own network to help these Lifeline customers. And so they're using this for a very small percentage of their customers, not just to get their foot in the door of a federal subsidy.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Global Connection Incorporated of America, designated eligible carrier, application case number PU-24-288.
Second.
July 3rd, Global Connection filed their application. Same story as the last two as far as filing the application, but this is more like the first one. It's not one of our traditional companies using their own facilities. This is just the notice for opportunity for hearing. Same considerations. People have till September 6th to request a hearing or to file comments.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Before I make this motion, I want to point out this is again back to Consolidated, however, a completely different topic than ETCs. So I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Consolidated Telecom /RTC Networks, Exchange Boundary, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-24-295.
Second.
On July 15th, so very recent, 2024, July 15th. I'm proud of our staff for recognizing a need here. Consolidated Telecom and Reservation Telephone Cooperative filed a joint application requesting authorization for Consolidated to provide local exchange telecommunications services to Chase Wisness, an individual in a location which is currently served by reservation. Comments and requests for hearings must be received by September 2nd. If deemed appropriate, The commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. I want to emphasize that point. Proposing further action on, I will be proposing further action on this case with the next agenda item. But this is just the opportunity for hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and then I move the commission adopt the order in Consolidated Telecom / RTC Networks, Exchange Boundary Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-24-295.
Second.
Okay, so with that last agenda item, we issued that notice of opportunity for hearing, provided until September 2nd for comments and requests for hearing. The notice stated that if deemed appropriate, we can determine the matter without a hearing. In support of this joint application, Consolidated provided copies of two emails from Mr. Shane Hart, the CEO and general manager of Reservation Telephone Cooperative, suggesting, and he's CEO of Reservation, suggesting that Consolidated would be able to more efficiently serve Mr. Wisness's location. Consolidated holds certificates of public convenience and necessity to provide local exchange telecommunication services in 18 telephone exchanges in North Dakota. Reservation holds CPNCs inside 20 telephone exchanges in North Dakota. But Reservation does not currently serve Mr. Wisness's location as it's a new home. However, the location is currently located within Homesteaders Gap Exchange, which is a part of Reservation. This application is requesting that Mr. Wisness's location be incorporated into Consolidated's Grassy Butte Exchange. So Reservation would need to, in order to serve him, Reservation would need to extend its system by 2 miles, while Consolidated will only need to extend its system by a quarter of a mile. So both cooperatives have very similar rate plans and service offerings. I believe it's clear that Consolidated is fit and able to provide the services to Mr. Wisness, and that the telecommunications service proposals are adequate. So approving this motion means that Consolidated's application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity is approved, contingent upon the commission not receiving any comments or request for hearing by September 2nd, 2024. While it can't be certain because the law requires that opportunity for objection, I think I have a fair level of confidence that will not be forthcoming, with both companies working so well together to help this customer. And so this gives not quite certainty, but some level of confidence for Mr. Wisness in his building plans that he probably will be able to get telecommunication services at a reasonable cost.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I guess I'd just like to say I like the cooperation between the two, Reservation and Consolidated, working together and professionally and the communication and all that. So that is absolutely great to see, and to move this along as quickly as we can, and having all the meeting the law, but also all the guidelines. And it's just kudos to everyone, absolutely, including staff.
Is there any further discussion?
Well said. I agree.
Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
My portfolio items are complete. I'll turn it over to you, Commissioner Hogenhofer.
Job well done, Chair. I move the commission adopt the order in Northern Plains, Northern States Power Company, AMI, self-reading tariff modification, tariff case number PU-24-180.
Second.
On May 3rd, NSP filed an application for approval to modify language in the North Dakota Electric Rate Book, Section 6, Sheet 16 and 17, related to customers' self-reading electric meters. On May 23rd, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing. No responses or request was received. NSP is deploying its new advanced meters, which are expected to be fully deployed by the end of 2025. This filing addresses the tariff language to reflect a customer's inability to read their meters just due to the technology of it. They're capable of reading, but the technology does not provide them to be self-readers. NSP also states that this change will not reflect a customer's ability to opt out of a AMI meter. In those cases, a technician with specialized meter reading equipment will manually read those customer meters. So we find the commission orders that NSP companies' proposed tariff revisions are approved, and I support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do want to highlight for the record something here. These new meters came about in case number, ironically, PU22-180. It's kind of an ironic coincidental numbering. So what I see in this order is trying to allow the tariffs that are on file with us, the company goes under, to accurately reflect what was approved in 22-180. That was over my objection. I still don't feel good about that order. And I just feel like the company here is a monopoly company and has exhibited a tone deafness, kind of just the opposite of what we've seen in the previous order with reservation. And they have decided what it is they want. And if customers have objection to that technology in their home, well, tough luck. And that's kind of the attitude I got with 22-180. So I'm going to support this because this is correcting the language to mm-hmm. make the language do what has already been approved. However, I did not want voting for this to diminish my objection to 22-180.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission approve the tariff and rates in Northern States Power Company franchise fee, City of West Fargo, electric rates, case number PU-24-240.
Second.
I'm just going to give a little history and how this comes about, which we as the commission really have no control over as far as this increase. On June 3rd, the City of West Fargo adopted an ordinance increasing its existing franchise fees for applicable electric customers from 2% to 4% of their gross revenues. So with that adoption of the West Fargo ordinance on June 20th, NSP filed a change to its rates to reflect the updated electric franchise fees for the City of West Fargo to be effective September 1st, 2024. NSP has estimated that the impact of the 2% increase in just the electrical fee will be approximately $2.20 per customer per month, making the cumulative 4% electric fee to $4.40. In working with NSP, I asked about the line item, how that is reflected on their bill. NSP indicates there will be a message in customer billing describing the City of West Fargo's fee. So we've talked about franchise fees quite a bit on this, but I just wanted to give a further explanation how this comes about through the commission, the West Fargo Commission, what their vote was, and then subsequently how this impacts NSP and its customers. So this franchise fee from 2% to 4%, the NSP customers will see an increase of $2.20 per month.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Well, I'm, as I did with Fargo, I'm going to say, and this, in this case, it's no criticism of the company. They're passing along what a city's charging them. I'm not at all surprised. In fact, I'm surprised that a couple more haven't already gotten on the bandwagon after Fargo doubled their franchise fee. But I expect every other town will, at which point they'll start a new cycle and probably double them again if something isn't done. It is, again, it's such a regressive tax, as energy use is not necessarily correlated with the amount of wealth a person has or even the way you're living. Oftentimes it has to do with how good of a, how new and modern and costly of appliances you have, or the insulation in your home, or things like that. And so a lot of the people who are least able to afford another hike get hit with this. And I think it's sad. And while I'm going to vote for this because NSP, they're entitled to pass along these costs, and we don't really have any say in what the franchise fee is. If I'm on this commission, when the legislature gets back to town, I'm going to be encouraging the legislature to cap these franchise fees or do something different so there is some level of control, because conceivably they could each double them every year if they want. It could go 100. The sky's the limit on what they can do here. And then the community can sit back and, let's face it, most people, if they object to their utility bill, the first ones they're angry at is the utility company, who they can't get a hold of. And so the next one they're angry at is the PSC. They don't think of the fact that it might have been the city commission that raised their costs. And so I just think it's essential that the legislature at least weigh in. If they want the sky the limit, well, then I guess then we know that. But some policy needs to at least have been discussed by North Dakota's policymakers in a situation where they have awareness of what's happening here and make a decision on these franchise fees.
Randy, I think that's a good idea. And I hope you are kind of bringing that forward with our legislative initiatives this year to talk about. And furthermore, I appreciate that we shine some light on this in our meetings. I would assume at the local level, these are part of, publicly posted agendas and they're discussed in the open. I'm quite certain they are. So there should be some coverage at the local level when this is happening. And I just also would encourage any of the media that are covering us today or covering these things on the local level to draw attention to it so that the public is aware that this is, another revenue source that the locals are turning to for local revenue that is really, I'm assuming in many cases, not connected at all to utility-related expenses. Maybe it is. Maybe some of it is for street improvements and that sort of thing. So all of those issues are properly discussed and considered at the local level, and I support that. And I just think it's important for there to be light on it so people are aware.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the finding of facts, conclusion of law, in order, in Otter Tail Power Company, Advance Prudence, Astoria Fuel Inventory System Application, case number PU-23-66.
Second.
Thank you. Excuse me. On February 8th, 2023, Otter Tail filed an application with us seeking an advanced determination of prudence, ADP, for a liquefied gas storage LNG system to be constructed at Astoria Station. We issued a notice of opportunity on the 11th, and on December 12th, 2023, a hearing was held as scheduled. On May 1st, Otter Tail made a supplemental finding. So they, some of the finding of facts that I'll go through, and then our conclusion of law. So Astoria is Otter Tail's 250-megawatt natural gas-fired frame-style simple-cycle combustion turbine generation located near Astoria, South Dakota. It was placed into service in 2021. Otter Tail has suggested in its ADP application and testimony that it is seeking to add an on-site fuel inventory system at Astoria in order to insulate customers from reliability and intraday pricing risk posed by the current single fuel source Astoria relies upon. They receive its fuel from Northern Border Pipeline, and the location for Astoria is strategically chosen based on the proximity to Northern Border Pipeline and nearby electric transmission lines. So going through the case, what brings about the need for this was within the past 10 years, the significant weather events that have caused natural gas disruptions in North America. We talked about the polar vortex, Storm Uri, and Storm Elliott, which was brought up as examples. This plant, Astoria, was not operational for either the polar vortex or Storm Uri. And then during Storm Elliott, Astoria's fuel supply from Northern Border Pipeline was interrupted due to lack of adequate supply. This interruption caused Astoria to go into a forced outage status with MISO. So during the testimony, Otter Tail further testifies that how this outage with MISO affects them. And they testified that 80% of the MISO's accredited capacity is based upon Tier 2 hours, and an unplanned outage during the 2 hours will result in a seasonal reduction in capacity credit for a 3-year period. The forced outage status is anticipated to cause Astoria to be derated by 50 megawatts for a 3-year period. But Otter Tail goes on to testify that it currently has 1,200 megawatts of accredited capacity in MISO, and that its MISO capacity requirement is 1,100, meeting that requirement. Otter Tail also identified that intraday pricing is a second risk for adding the on-site fuel inventory at Astoria. So going through this case, that the significant winter events and the pricing, that they came up that they wanted this on-site fuel storage. Fuel costs are a direct pass-through to Otter Tail customers and are normally recovered through the energy adjustment rider. Due to this, Otter Tail has very little risk of failing to receive full recovery of the daily fuel costs, regardless of the prevailing market rates. The customers are the primary bearers of the market price risk. In addition of the on-site fuel inventory system, would neither increase or decrease the risk at Otter Tail Power. It would, however, increase the costs to the Otter Tail Power customers and provide Otter Tail Power an opportunity to earn a return on investment. The perceived need for an on-site fuel inventory system is based on the risk associated with extreme weather events that we went through. The record in this proceeding demonstrates that predicting the location, frequency, and severity of such events is not possible with any degree of accuracy. It is further impossible to predict what impact any future weather events may or may not have upon Astoria's ability to operate. Otter Tail has requested the commission to find that the on-site inventory system of Astoria is a necessary insurance policy for Otter Tail customers. Having gone through all this, as recognizing that weather events happen. We like reliable service, but just the cost and the impact to Otter Tail customers is not prudent. After considering all testimony and evidence presented in this proceeding, the commission finds that Otter Tail has not met the burden to prove the application for the advanced prudence determination for an on-site fuel inventory system for Astoria is prudent. Therefore, Otter Tail has not demonstrated that the LNG fuel storage at Astoria is proposed is a prudent addition, and Otter Tail's application for the advanced determination of prudence for the LNG fuel storage system at Astoria is denied without prejudice. And I support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Do you have any comments? Thanks, Sherry, for walking through all that. This was a tough one for me. I really struggled with it because I want to encourage investments in dispatchable resources, and we want them to be available when we need them. And this gas resource is one of those resources that I think it's important for commissions to support. The problem with natural gas is one of its downsides. Its biggest downside is fuel security. They're dependent on the pipelines. And this was located in a good place. It's right on a pipeline. So it's in a great location from that standpoint, which really, you know, was one of the highlights of selecting this and approving it when it was built. But as we've seen in some of the storms, the recent, you know, extreme weather events, the pipelines are not able to keep up with the demand. And it's more than an Otter Tail problem. It's a system problem. And so, you know, the on-site storage that Otter Tail is pursuing would address this. And so, you know, I do applaud them for looking at it. MISO has been taking a number of steps to reward and to encourage investments in dispatchable resources and fuel security. And I've been pushing for those and helping to drive a lot of those major reforms. They've passed the seasonal construct, which North Dakota helped get over the finish line, the reliability-based demand curve, which we were instrumental in getting approved, that rewards units that perform. And it helps those units be supported by others who aren't even investing in them. We've supported just most recently accreditation reforms, which Otter Tail Power is kind of talking about here. They're going to be dinged for not performing, and that's the 50 megawatt D rate. And in the moving forward, they're probably going to be dinged even more. And that latest filing that they sent us in May spells that out. So we can't ignore that. That's our staff. We need to keep a close eye on that because things are changing quickly in MISO, and these reforms are substantial, and the penalties. The only way to get significant movement on some of these things is to have severe penalties if you don't perform. So that's what MISO's doing. And so, and the latest one is the scarcity price, which they're changing from the $3,500 to $10,000, which will have, again, another significant impact. So all of those market changes, my challenge here, and I am going to support this order denying this application at this time, mostly because I feel like the market changes are still really fresh. This is a very sizable investment. Mm-hmm. And I think we need time to let some of the market changes sink in, let the companies adjust to them, and see what kind of additional products might become available. There may be significant adjustments that are made in the pipelines and the products that they bring available in terms of contracts that companies can secure that would be less expensive, an insurance policy, but less expensive than this insurance policy. I am really sensitive to the intraday pricing challenge that they have. It's could be potentially very, very expensive for customers in a severe weather event. But again, I think that at this point, it's more prudent to let the company and gain some experience and explore any other market mechanisms that might be available or come available to address this fuel security issue. And, you know, the way the nature of this denial is that if, you know, they feel like it's the most prudent thing and they need to go ahead with it and invest in it, they can do so and bring it back in a rate case in the future. But I think right now the most prudent step would be to let some of these reforms bake in and see, you know, at least for another season, how things shake out and what FERC says about the scarcity price, because that hasn't been approved yet. So for those reasons, I'm going to support this, but I do want to express, you know, a significant caution to staff and my colleagues to keep a close eye on this moving forward. All of these market changes and the impacts that they have on our companies, and work closely with them to mitigate the fuel security issues and other investments that are needed in our dispatchable resources to keep them ready when they're called on.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Okay, and that concludes our voting item agenda. A couple of announcements I want to make. 1:30 this afternoon, we have an informal hearing in case number PU-24-177, which is MDU's 2023 earnings sharing refund plan. On Wednesday, because this was originally on our calendar, the regular commission meeting that this special commission meeting is replacing. So if that's on any old calendars, it's canceled.
It's just already happened.
Next week, Monday through Friday, every day our calendar, an old calendar, might reflect formal hearings for Otter Tail Power's electric rate case, which is PU-23-342. Those have all been postponed, so if those are on your calendar, they're gone now. However, on Monday, the 2nd, we do have public input sessions on NSP's natural gas rate case, one at 12, the other at 5:30. That's PU-23-367. It's not on our calendar, I don't believe, but I believe August 1st, a Thursday at 9 a.m., is our data center technical conference, and that will be down in that technical conference is about large load power impacts, and that will be down in the Pioneer Room. Wednesday, August 14th, is our regular commission meeting.
Did you say August 3rd for the data center? It's August 1st. Okay, I thought I heard you say
3rd. And I may have, but it is the 1st on a Thursday. And I left it for last because it is so fun and important. This Friday, the 26th, at 10 a.m., 811 day at the North Dakota State Fair, but I know a lot of people will be going up there just for that. Don't just come for the, like, 10 to noon main part of the 811 day. Come for the whole day. Enjoy the North Dakota State Fair. That concludes my announcements. We will stand in recess and take any questions that might be from the press.